Welcome to Feats and Fables. We appreciate your company as we delve into our 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join the conversation on social media at Feats and Fables. Follow us to adventure them.
Previously on Feats and Fables, Khafra has had a really bad day in which he's been fired and evicted. The rest of the team worked hard getting the inn ready before the watch has to come back by checking for lycanthropes. Corbin chatted with clergy of Kelimvor about a potential necromancer in the City of the Dead. The clergy don't want to let the rest of the junior acolytes know. Lady Everdon also indicated there are doppelgangers working out of the Yawning Portal and they must be dealt with. Malagar has been given another mysterious errand to drop a story in the lap of the editor of the Waterdeep Wazoo. The rest of the Trollskull Alley neighbors drop by for an impromptu welcome party. As Malagar and Manny enter the cool night air of Waterdeep, the city is still alive and awake. There's a bustle and clatter of carriages moving around, the occasional sound of a horse or other beast. You hear a whoosh over the head and see actually a flight of Griffin cavalry outlined against the stars. Ahead of you, the city awaits.
So where are we off to anyway, Malagar?
We're going to that newspaper man's office to apparently drop this envelope.
Oh, that's right. That's right. If I ask again in 5 minutes, you just got to tell me.
It's okay. It's been a long day.
So what's in this letter anyway?
Oh, some garbage that apparently some secret drow organization wants me to deliver. Actually, which reminds me, let's take a closer look at it, shall we?
That's your letter.
Indeed it is. Malagar will sort of sidle up to one of the street lamps and just sort of pry at the envelope if it isn't sealed.
It is sealed, but not very well. Are you trying to open it without making it look like it's been opened?
Yes, Malagar will in fact burgle this this letter.
Make me a sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand it is.
While he's doing this, Manny is going to keep watch out.
Okay. Malagar will draw on his lucky stars. Oh, good lord! What is this?
Dice.
I have a 2 and a 3, naturally, so I just go and just tear open the envelope like it's no big thing.
Okay.
Manny got a 7 perception check to keep out for any ne'er-do-well that might be trying to stop us from reading this letter.
Well, you don't see any ne'er-do-wells, but you were actually looking for ne'er-do-whales.
Oh.
Which means that you were looking, like, past the city onto the moonlit ocean. You thought you saw something surface out there, but you're not really sure.
I see we're all overachieving this evening. Malagar flails with the envelope and nearly sets it ablaze in the lamp.
Several pieces of paper open and flutter out, which you manage to collect before they hit the ground.
What do they say?
You find an explicitly detailed expose on devil worship among unnamed Waterdavian noble families. Hmm. There's some references to colors and animals, which you think maybe you might be able to piece back together into a heraldry that might help indicate the family, but it doesn't say who it is. The story mentions orgies and secret deals happening behind closed doors. Devils being summoned, virgins being sacrificed.
You know, having illustrated a number of these occasions, did any of them sound familiar?
Make me do any of these sound familiar roll.
What is that roll?
I don't know, man. You tell me. This is your character. History?
I'm terrible at that. Let's find out.
Well, it's intelligence based, so.
Yes. All right, that's a 12.
In toto?
In toto.
So you can't quite piece together the house that this might be, but it actually rings very true, given your historical knowledge of things like this happening. There's always been kind of a whiff of devil worship in some of the noble families in Waterdeep, and it's super illegal. Super illegal. Like, the watch does not screw around with that at all. For the simple reason that, you know, once you start devil summoning, then they're going to eat the neighbor's cat. And then the next thing you know, kids are disappearing, and then people get excited. So they cut that off pretty fast. We can't have cats going missing.
I see. Well, I guess that sounds salacious. I stuff the pieces of paper back into the envelope.
Sure.
I don't think that's how they were originally. You know what? Forget it.
It doesn't matter. Look at this. Look at how I've torn the side of it. It's not going to look like anything other than that it has been rifled through.
I mean, you don't have to deliver the envelope. You were told to deliver the contents of the envelope.
Oh, indeed. No, I'm going to deliver it as it is. It should be much more interesting this way.
All right.
Well, that's your call, I suppose.
Yes.
All right. Well, I didn't say anything. We should get moving then.
Yes, let's head down to the Wazoo's offices.
All right. The headquarters of the Waterdeep Wazoo is in a dingy third-story office in a five-story building. It's got a central opening lobby and then some stairs going up on either side. It looks like there might be apartments or such in the building as well, because you see a group of drunken partygoers head into one of the doors in front of you.
So which floor is it exactly?
The third floor.
And is it an exterior exit?
Interior. It's interior. Got an interior lobby and the staircase.
I think we should just go up there and try the door, shall we?
I'm in. Sure, why not? Let's go.
And there's a party going on. I think you should provide well enough cover for us.
I'm sure someone will let us in.
I don't think this is exactly the kind of place that has a doorman.
I mean, it's a little seedy.
Yes.
It's a little seedy.
All right, then.
All right, so you head up to the door, and it's got a door with a nice piece of glass in it so you can see inside. The lobby might have been nice at one point. It looks a little, like, water-stained. There must have been something that flooded in here. There's a dead potted plant on the side, and the furniture looks rather tawdry and sat upon too much. And as you go inside, there's a faint smell of pets.
Yeah, well, typical for apartments, really.
Well, this place has definitely seen better days, that's for sure.
Indeed. And so there are people coming in and out, going to the
table? The party, so there's two sets of stairs.
Yes.
It was supposed to look nice, you know, with two sets of stairs, one going up each side. And the party's going up the stairs on the left-hand side, making a whole lot of noise and whooping, and there's a lot of giggling and snatches of song.
Well, that sounds good.
You're going to go up after them?
Yes, I think so. I'm actually going to grab Manny's hand as I do so.
Are you just trying to blend with the party? Are you following at a discreet distance?
I'm blending, but we're going to just keep going for whatever reason.
Okay, yep. Make me an eye blend roll.
I can blend with a drunken crowd, right?
That's you get advantage, buddy.
Excellent.
One thing that you're really good at doing. Maybe I could just be aiding him then.
I will take the 17 over the 1.
Okay, fair enough. So, Manny, you actually recognize the song that they're singing. It's kind of an off-key rendition of "Is That Camel's Milk in Your Cup?"
God damn,
but it's done at a really fast beat.
Oh.
Melagar, you owe me one for this. And I start singing.
Who owes whom?
Camel, is that camel's milk in my cup? And God, that hurt. I take a point of mental damage? Is that a thing?
Sure, sure. You take it off your psyche track.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You join in with the crowd, and when you apparently know the chorus better than everyone else, they give you a brief round of applause, and then start it up again, and they've twisted and jangled up all the lyrics as well.
Sure.
Let's go somewhere a little bit more quiet, shall we? And I can use to lead them up to the third floor.
But, right.
So you peel off at the third, party still keeps going up, and you see a long, quiet hallway. It looks like these are mostly offices on this floor. Each office has, you know, a name or a logo painted on the front of a door.
You keep going, guys. We'll be up there in a minute. Don't break out the good stuff without us.
Woo!
So I'll stumble along until I find the offices of the Wazoo.
So you find the international headquarters of the Waterdeep Wazoo about five doors down on the right. It is painted in gold paint, which is peeling, with kind of black lettering around it. It looked like it might have been nice about the time this apartment building was nice.
Is there a light on?
There are no lights on. There's lanterns in the hall, but there's no lights on in this office.
And is it locked?
You rattle it? Yeah, it's locked.
All right, I'll keep an eye out. And then I very conspicuously keep a watch out down both directions of the hallway.
Noted.
Not sure I actually feel safer this way. All right, well, let's try this lock then. Well, so I have a 5 in total.
Rattle, rattle. Still locked.
Any minute now, Malgar.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll try again. It'll be a 13.
Okay, you know what? You just had to get the J angle pick in there correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the door pops right open.
Apparently I'm a little bit rusty. It's been a while since I've actually done proper larceny.
I mean, if it took any longer, I was just going to smash the window.
Don't do that. What's it
we'll
like
see.
Inside?
It looks like an office that could only be properly cleaned with a pitchfork and flamethrower. There's an old battered bookcase, a mahogany desk that is probably old even in elven terms, a dilapidated chair with 3 wheels on the bottom when it really should have 4, and a writing desk. But everything is covered in a drift of paper. Yellow paper, pink paper, white paper, cream paper, black writing, brown writing, faded writing, pencils.
They're never going to find this envelope if I put it here.
Well, we could always stick it to the door somehow.
There's a variety of office supplies. There's a cup of what looks like strong tea that's been spilled over some of the waterfall papers on the left side of the desk.
God.
By the gods. Well, I'm going to take a minute to look at what some of the prominent articles are on the table.
Sure. You find a draft about spirits.
Do I feel as though the article is properly embellished?
So the article ran this morning. This is an earlier draft of it. So it's already run. And in Manny's current condition, I bet it is not currently embellished enough.
Why wouldn't he throw this away then?
Look at this place. He hasn't thrown anything away ever.
That's true. I look into the trash can.
The trash can is packed with paper.
Oh, okay.
You look at them, it's mostly in envelopes, and you realize they're mostly people that have submitted job applications to work here, and some of them aren't even opened.
This place makes me itch. I'm going to put this in his chair. Yes, his chair. Is the chair clear?
It's clear of papers. You're not sure you'd want to sit on it without a towel.
Right. Well, I'll put it in the middle of the chair where he can't miss it when he sits on it.
Okay. Sounds good. You also find a whole bunch of articles about parties in Waterdeep. You find an article written about a break-in at one of the big estates in Waterdeep earlier in the year, where a big gem was stolen. You find articles about current trends in haberdashery in Waterdeep. Like, it's eclectic.
Sure. I take one of the haberdashery articles and I start reading it aloud to Malagar. Malagar, get a load of this one. The latest fashion trends and all of Waterdeep stem from nothing more than a good feather in the cap. By the lords, who's writing this rubbish?
I mean, we met the gentleman who does write this rubbish. Let's get out of here.
All right, then. I take one last good look around. Does he have any alcohol?
We haven't opened the drawers of the desk.
None just sitting out anywhere?
None sitting out anywhere.
All right, I'll check, obviously, the upper left drawer.
Upper left.
Upper left.
Full of a variety of pens, pencils, paints, quills, nibs.
Sure. I go down one drawer.
Okay, I'm leaving now. I'm going to lock this behind me, okay?
You find a bunch of empty liquor bottles, but the one in the back kind of sloshed.
Great. I take it and I leave.
They'll know that he's been burgled by alcoholics. Should nail it right down. Now the guy will pull Manny out and then lock the door behind him.
Okay.
Well, that was uneventful. Let's waddle on down.
What do you say? Should we go upstairs to the party?
I suppose it's early. And look, you've brought something. A mostly drinking bottle of some sort of rot gut. Not
Let's do it.
Now that you look at it, it's got kind of a burnished orange color. It's unlabeled, but that burnished orange color
No. Manny takes a sip.
Fair enough. You realize this is a famous liqueur called Elverquist, which is really high-end stuff.
Oh yeah, we're definitely going to a party.
So Manny and Malagar disappear into whichever of these apartments that parties have.
Fair enough. A good time is had by many. the night of Nine Fading passes uneventfully.
After having gone on his walk and had a delicious breakfast and having done a couple of repairs, Corbin goes and wakes up his fellow companions around about 9:30 to give them enough time to get to the temple on time.
What is that banging noise?
It's me. Time to go to the temple.
No.
Kafra rolls over and just covers himself in his pillow.
Kafra, come on.
I don't want to.
Kafra, they're going to pay us money.
Fiona, to be helpful, pops right up on you and goes punk punk on your head.
Fine.
So Kafra will get up and start very slowly getting ready, because everything hurts.
Thanks for making breakfast, Corbin.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Zasper. You want to get up Malagar? I'll get up Manny.
All right. I'll go open Malagar's room.
Even before you actually open the door, you hear this sort of faint hissing noise. And when you open the door, there's Malagar standing, awake, naked, brushing off what appeared to be his finest white leathers with a sort of, what, some sort of stiff bristle brush.
I see you're almost ready to go.
Oh, yes, yes, Jasper. Good morning. Yeah, I'm very pleased. I finally got these back from the cleaners, and I'm very glad to be wearing them again.
Well, hopefully the necromancer won't bleed all over them.
Well, that's pretty much just our fate, really. So Malagar will pull on his white leathers and come downstairs for breakfast.
Time to get up, Manny. Time to go to the Temple of Kelimvor.
Why in the hell would I want to go somewhere like that?
Because they're going to pay us?
You hear some shuffling inside. Manny opens the door with, like, his pants halfway on.
Would you put on some clothes? We got to go.
Right then. Where's my shirt? Has anybody seen my shirts?
I've got your shirt. I'll throw it back at you.
What?
As I walk by in my white leathers.
What? I don't want to know. Walk downstairs.
It was an excellent party.
I hope it was.
Pretty much shut it down and came home and got 4 hours of sleep, and I feel great.
What time is it?
9:30. Just enough time for breakfast before we head out.
Breakfast is at noon.
No, that's lunch.
Right.
So you don't want this last bacon?
No, I do. Give me that bacon.
All right.
I take bacon and some of your eggs.
So while I was running this morning, I actually encountered Smiling Sam and let him know that we would need his services this morning.
Okay.
So Smiling Sam is waiting outside for us.
All right. In addition, while you were running, your neighbor, the Power Walker, stopped by. Ordeska Zimney. She apparently has taken a shine to you and just wanted to walk with you this morning.
Sure. I will mention to her while we're walking about the legal trouble my friend is in. Zasper.
Oh. You know, he seems like such a nice man.
He's got some anger issues.
Oh, yes. You know, I used to be a city bureaucrat.
Yes.
Parade routes.
Yes.
I do have a girlfriend that was, well, I believe her daughter's... You know, Al, look, I think I have a contact that might could help him out.
That would be great. That would be great.
No worries. No worries.
We all head out to the carriage. Some of us being shoved partially by me, I suppose.
So I'm trying to not hit every pothole in the road this morning.
What? I never hit potholes.
Ka-junk!
And could you take it easy on the turns?
Like, his turns are typically two-wheel turns.
Right.
Like, you're paying for that service.
We told him to go fast and never stop going fast.
That are his base instructions, yes.
He is essentially a shark.
This hasn't happened before, but this morning, time's actually money.
It's true.
Right. So what was this that you mentioned about pay?
The Temple of Kelimvor needs us to find a necromancer.
Who's at 9:30?
Well, they're weak during the day.
The Temple of Kelimvor would like us to patrol the City of the Dead in the evening to discover the necromancer and they wish to meet everyone who's going there this morning to interview them to make sure that they are happy with them.
Maybe I shouldn't have stayed out so late last night then.
Yeah, I don't know why you did that at all. I told you about this last night.
You were a hit, though.
That was a pretty great party. You always know it's going to be good when the lampshades end up on some people's heads.
These holy yes. types are generally pretty understanding about debauchery, so...
Oh, there was definitely some debauchery last night.
Great.
And I'm sure they won't miss any of their liquor.
I mean, you took it home in your stomach, so...
You stole people's liquor?
Well, yes, he did.
Be careful. I've already used up our allotted fine budget for really the next year.
Yes.
Anyways, he nicked it while we were committing a break and enter in anyways, so it was really just more of a twofer.
Oh good, we're building upon crime as the basis of our meeting with the priests.
Great.
I'm just Perfect. Going to act like you didn't say that.
What, I did something in furtherance of a crime?
Yes.
It was pretty great.
And then we went to a party.
I hope you had a great time.
It was amazing. His rendition of Is That Camel's Milk in Your Cup?
Really?
It was quite the rousing success. They were singing it in the halls.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
Oh, you did so many rounds of it. Eventually I had to leave.
Right. Well,
and I enjoy that song.
I'm glad you weren't there to experience it and to rub it into my face more.
I'm sure you did it justice.
He put such emotion into it. It brought a tear to the eye.
Well, it's just...
I'll have to take your word for it.
It's an ongoing mystery.
Don't be surprised if someone stops you on the street and asks for a fresh rendition.
Wait, you're not trying to cut into my wheelhouse, are you?
Not intentionally. At least not with that song.
Someone did offer him money to sing at their wedding.
Is that why I had the extra gold in my pocket?
I think that was actually for a gig that they wanted you to do, yes, on the weekend.
Zasper, why don't you ever make any money performing? We could really use that money to hire Vincent Trench.
You know, I could. The problem is once you put yourself out there for gigs, they could be any time. So I wanted to make sure I was available for all of our work. But I might have to. I mean, it depends on how lucrative our necromancer job is, I guess.
So, and I think the trick, though, amongst the common folk yes. who enjoyed your music, was to actually speed it up a little bit.
Really?
Yes, your tempo is a little bit lacking, especially for a beer hall fare.
Next, you're going to want me to add some drums to the back.
I mean, I wouldn't say no.
Zasper, you are a little mournful sometimes in your rendition. And I'm a follower of Kelmvor saying that, so...
Well, I'll take that advice to heart then. There's no harm in speeding it up a little bit.
Upbeat. People like upbeat.
All right.
Like, we are called spirits, but I think dirges are perhaps a little much.
Yes. Yes, let's put on a happy face.
With that decided, could we enjoy the rest of the ride in peace? Oh, my head.
I like to talk. It makes the screeching and bumps less audible.
If my head didn't hurt so much, I'd reach over and I'd punch you one in the face.
So with a final rattle and thump, Sam pulls up outside the City of the Dead. Apparently no vehicles are allowed inside unless they are delivering bodies. And he says, all right, this is as far as I go. Do I need to hang out here, in which case you will continue to pay my fees, or should I go somewhere else?
This meeting should be relatively
short. Yeah, you should stay. This meeting should be relatively short.
He gives Corbin a look. If they vomit in my cab, there will be cleaning charges.
I understand.
Okay, because it only... Prestidigitate is the only thing that gets the smell of puke out of carpet.
But that's going forward, right?
Yes. They made it here.
Yes, they made it here.
We walk inside quickly.
Okay. You head into the City of the Dead, And you realize, for those of you who have not been here before, it is actually not as gloomy and awful as it might sound. It looks like a park. You see lovely expanses of trees and flowers and stone paths and small decorative fountains and little bridges going over small decorative ponds. And there just seems to be head markers put in various locations in neat rows around there. Past that, you see statuary, and it takes a moment perhaps to realize that some of the statuary there is actually the form of crypts, and some of the small buildings that you had seen even farther away are larger crypts. You know that the Temple of Kelbor has a completely utilitarian building snugged up against the north western wall.
Yep. We make our way to that building.
All right. When you get closer, you see probably, 50 young men and women, and when I say young, maybe late teens, maybe early 20s, doing various sorts of physical conditioning exercises. Some of them are running. Many of them are doing calisthenics. Most of them are dressed in very serviceable plain tunics and hose. There are a few older people who are instructing them. And one thing you notice immediately about all the instructors is that they are either very old, or they appear to have serious injuries that they are recovering from, or they be permanently damaged by whatever, like some are missing arms or legs or an eye.
That looks exhausting.
Is it? No, it's fine. It's
also, don't you have regeneration spells? Are they just hobbling along for funsies? Is this some kind of devotion thing?
It's mostly a devotion thing, yes. If you get injured in service of Kelimvor, fighting a particularly powerful undead is not uncommon to carry the wounds. They're normally given more cushy postings, such as Waterdeep. This posting is relatively safe.
So will we be expected to drive the undead away with chipper good exercise and calisthenics?
No, that's why they're hiring us.
Oh, okay.
Is it just me, though, or some of these lads giving us odd looks?
Like, you guys are definitely getting all kinds of odd looks. This is, looks like a place where civilians don't normally go. I do have a question. What is Corbin wearing today?
He's definitely wearing his chainmail.
Which, of course, is with the full regalia and insignia of Kelimvor. Yeah, there is a babble of whispers that seems to follow as Corbin strides purposefully up to the main chapter house. You guys notice off to the side there's a small hill that's fenced in with kind of a small decorative fence around it and a plaque. And there are a quartet of heavily armored young folks out there guarding it. You know that that is supposedly the very spot where Kelimvor apotheosed and became the god of the dead. As you walk into the main temple, the guards nearby kind of snap to attention. One of them stops, makes as if to stop you, looks at you, and when she does, her eyes get really big and is like, can I help you, sir?
We are here to see Lady Everdon.
Yes, please. I believe she's in the private rectory. Would you like me to take you there?
Please.
All right, sir. So there's a rack for weapons there that looks like if you were coming in, you'd be asked to leave your weapons. And she, like, opens her mouth, looks at it, looks at you, distinctly shuts right up, and then starts walking to the other side.
I follow.
Okay. You go through a couple of private gardens and are led into a small building, and you see Lady Everdon, who looks like she is going through sparring forms by herself. Mm-hmm. She is wearing heavy armor, has a long sword and a shield, and looks like she's doing pretty well for a woman who's well into her 60s.
Very impressive.
She stops, says, oh, Corbin, kind of wipes the sweat off of her brow, sheathes her sword. And friends, come on, step out to the garden.
Lady Everdon, Zasper will doff his cap and give a sincere bow. We are very grateful that you are bringing this opportunity to us.
Well, I am very grateful that Corbin has volunteered you essentially for this duty. Obviously, it is something that we have... We would normally take care of ourselves, but I don't want to excite the young ones, and I don't want to take a chance to further injure any of our more experienced staff.
Do not worry. This kind of task is right up the Sunken Dragon Salvagers wheelhouse.
The who?
What?
Yes, the Sunken Dragon Salvagers. You may have heard of us.
You've got to stop calling us that.
I like this one more.
I think this is the first time I've heard that name, actually.
Doesn't matter. He's got to stop calling us any of these names.
It is... I mean, the town talks... There was the dragon. Don't you remember? You were there. The Sunken Dragon Salvagers.
You had mentioned an inn, the Sunken Dragon. Is that the name of it? That's a lovely name for an inn.
No. The inn's name is Spirits.
Spirits what?
It's succinct.
It's only got one name?
Yes, making it unique in the city.
She blinks a couple of times and says, sure, sure, that sounds lovely.
We're hoping that the novelty will be a draw.
I hope it is, I hope it is.
A grand opening is in 2 days. You know, Corbin, you should really invite them.
Yes.
Like everyone? Like the entire city?
Aren't they your bosses or something?
The priesthood of Kellenbor is well known for our partying ways, Lady Everdawn quips.
Great!
I don't believe you somehow, but do go on.
It's because I was being sarcastic.
As we were driving here, my companions actually complimented me on my dirges, so it might be more your scene than you would expect.
Well, that is possible, I suppose. Look, if you'll just look after the cemetery for a 10-day, we have a couple of patrols coming in to do some teaching activities here, and I know I can rely on them if you haven't shut it down by then.
What? So if we defeat the necromancer, would that be the end of the commission, or is it 10 days?
If you can figure out who it is and stop them, that's even better. But whoever it is cagey. They're just raiding the city of the dead for bones.
Not that I want to be rude here or anything, but Corbin did mention something about pay for this work.
Oh, yes, adventurers. Yes, well, the temple is prepared to recompensate you both for your time and any potential danger you are taking upon yourself to the tune of 10 gold pieces per night for 10 nights each. Paid in full at the terminus of the service.
Wait, what?
She slows down a bit, looking at Kafra as if perhaps he's a little slow.
Kafra will lean in.
10 gold pieces.
Right.
For each of 10 nights. She holds up 10 fingers.
Right.
To help. Payable at the end of the service. Each.
Wait a minute, each.
Each. It's a word that means every single one of them.
My allies would also appreciate knowing if there was an extra stipend for catching the necromancer.
No, but if you catch the necromancer before the 10 nights are up, then I'll pay you for all 10 nights.
Excellent.
Can we keep the necromancer's stuff as long as he didn't steal it?
We will return anything that is dangerous and we will keep anything else.
Yes, Corbin of course has the right of it.
What about swords? Can we keep swords?
Anything that is unholy, we will return.
Oh, unholy.
Everything else, okay. We will keep.
Because, I mean, dangerous.
Lady Everdawn gives Corbin a long-suffering glance.
They're all very trustworthy. I would trust them all with my life.
Well, considering you effectively are, then I hope that you are right. The other matter that I mentioned, I don't want to discuss it publicly for reasons that I believe you would agree. Do you think you'll be able to take care of that as well?
I will certainly be able to give you a report within the 10-day.
Good. Right. In that case, you will report at sunset. She pulls a ring off her finger. It's like a class ring, basically. Hands it to Corbin. Show the guard at the gate my ring. He'll know that you're here on my personal seal. Then you should be allowed the run of the City of the Dead.
Thank you, Lady Everdawn.
You're quite welcome.
The run of the City of the Dead. She expects us to jog and do calisthenics, doesn't she?
Well, It is large. You'll need to have good conditioning to be able to get through the entire City of the Dead.
Yes. Haven't you ever heard of the City of the Dead 10K that happens every spring?
I think we're starting to delve deep into the secrets of the Kalimvorites, and they're terrifyingly wholesome.
Well, you know who might know more about that 10K would be the our neighbor. What's her name again? You know, the one who worked for the parade bureaucracy.
Ordeska. We actually went for a run this morning.
But she'd know all about the Kalimvorites 10K.
I imagine she's there every year.
Well, I suppose smiling Sammy is keeping the carriage warm for us.
Thank you, Lady Everdon. We will let you know. We will report if there's anything of interest.
Excellent. I have anatomy lessons for the young ones all day. Smiling Sam is waiting for you. He is chatting up a group of young ladies who are all perhaps just in the late end of their teens, telling them some kind of wild story, making like big swooping, flapping gestures with his hands, and has their rapt attention when you walk up. And then there was this dragon, which I think they're telling people was bronze, but I could see it, and I think it was red. And they had that thing cowed. It wouldn't come anywhere near Waterdeep once they were done with it.
With all this extra time I have from not working, I need to figure out how to do that with girls.
Lie to them?
If it gets that many, yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard, but kind of disingenuous.
I have found that a good hat always helps. Allow me to demonstrate, and I will go up to the crowd of young ladies, and I will take off my hat in a bow that is not sincere, like the one that I gave Lady Everdon, but instead completely overdone, many flourishes. It's a Zasper of the Sunken Dragon Salvagers at your service.
You are regarded with the wide-eyed stares of five young women. What is your persuasion bonus?
I believe I am at a plus 5.
Okay, fair enough. Sam's like, yep, see? That was the one who was talking to the dragon. And one of them said, you really talked down a red dragon from attacking Waterdeep?
Well, I won't get into details such as the color of the dragon, but rest assured, with the help of my noble companions, we prevented that dragon from sacking the city and filling up your fair cemetery complex with people that should have lived longer lives.
There's kind of a collective, and one of the young ladies says, I think we need to be going back. And then the rest of them like, yep, try to go back. Bye, goodbye, 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 goodbye. And they keep looking back over their shoulder as they're walking.
He's also the one who wrote, is there that camel's milk in your cup?
Did that help at all?
No, not particularly.
Oh. Shall we head back?
Yes.
I would hope.
Sam?
So, I thought of two things before I saw that gaggle of women. If we're here tonight and tomorrow night, who's going to do the opening?
It'll probably be a miracle of Kalimvor, I imagine.
We'll just have to get the staff up to speed then, won't we?
Yes.
We can open in the early afternoon or even at lunchtime so that things are in full swing, and then we'll leave, I imagine, in the evening. I admit it's not ideal, but we need the money, and to be honest, I'm not sure if our presence will help our inn in any particular way.
Well, hopefully the employees we have are good. The problem is we should give them some initial oversight. Not that any of us actually know what we're doing from an inn standpoint.
Yes.
I trust both of you to have hired the correct people, so... This dwarf you were telling me about...
Theodore, yes.
Theodore, yes. He sounds like quite the individual, so I think he'll probably have a handle on it.
He came highly regarded and made an excellent impression on both myself and Maligar. Maligar pointed out he doesn't wear much leather, but other than that, full marks. And we're offering them good money, and hopefully if we just treat them with respect, they won't rip us off too badly.
Well, that's pretty nice.
Oh, the other thing. How hard up are your church that they're hiring us to do this and paying us such an exorbitant sum?
That's a pretty normal sum for adventurers.
Wait, 10 gold a night each.
Well, it's relatively light work.
Each.
Yes. It's relatively light work.
Now, you do recall we ran all the fuck around town looking for a talking horse for nothing.
We found the horse, though.
Why are we questioning this? Why are we looking at gift horse in the mount?
I think Coffer is merely pointing out that after putting in our legwork, we've kind of actually made it. Our connections are turning us onto jobs that actually pay. So we're going to be risking our lives for money.
It's not an unusual stipend for adventurers. I mean, I've been doing this for a fair bit.
That is true, you have. As a paladin that literally glows, surprisingly, you get a small uptick in your rates.
Wait, like what?
Compared to people that just walk around with a, you know, loot and say that they can take care of things, they promise.
Right, but like, we're an adventuring group, right? Like, adventuring yes. groups call for higher rates than individuals.
We are.
Yeah, we yes, are the sunken dragon salvagers.
Stop that. But we are. Right, we are a group, right? Like, that's why we can demand a higher price.
In either case, don't revel in it too much. We're going to have an entire staff that we're going to need to pay fortnightly, and all this money will evaporate quite quickly.
Well, the hope is that the business will create enough wealth to sustain itself, but we will see. You're not wrong.
But the amount of time it takes for a business to get into the black is...
No, you're not wrong. We've already sunk a fair amount of currency into it, but I would imagine we can find other similar jobs in Waterdeep. It is a large city, and it has the need of some adventurers.
Yes. Let's go greet our staff, shall we?
You arrive back at Spirits without any further ado. When you alight from the carriage, you immediately hear the sound of enraged yelling from inside the inn and hear a lot of pounding on metal.
Oh, that might be the colonel, you know.
For those of you who have hangovers, this represents a very hostile environment.
She actually has quite the fearsome reputation. She led a rather successful amphibious operation in Moonshay Isles that's still spoken of to this day.
Wait, what?
What?
I'm very confused. Did we hire an executive chef or some sort of battle-tested commander?
Yes.
I have many questions.
We have no
I'm
answers,
I'm excited
though.
To meet her.
Bam! The front door slams open and the fire genasi smith goes stomping down the stairs with a hammer in his hand and a deranged look in his eye and walks straight back over to the smithy.
I slowly walk inside Spirits.
Okay. Avi's behind the counter. He's pulling the kinks of a punch mark out of a plate of copper. He says, everything's fine. He works best when he loses his temper sometimes. We'll have it fixed within the hour.
Is he the only current resident?
Looks like.
All right, excellent. I was worried that our staff was at Tinterhooks already. That's probably not the right word.
Terrified?
Yes.
There'll be plenty of time to be terrified.
At each other's throats.
Yes, but I believe that it is par for the course for the Genasi to flare up at each other.
Yeah.
And we don't even know them that well.
Oh, he doesn't flare up at me.
Well, at the copper. I mean, I can tell that it probably said something about his late father that...
I mean, who knows? He's really happiest when he's very angry.
That's funny. I'm only happy when it rains.
Yes. Well,
it's coming up on fall, and you know what that means. You'll be very happy. Avi explains.
Clearly, and you're going to get the rain first because you've got the top bunk. The rest of us are just going to get hand-me-down rain.
Anyways.
I need a drink.
Over the next couple of hours, staff starts showing up. Theodore, your dwarven maitre d', host and apparently calligrapher, he can do the menus. Mm. Arrives first, makes himself at home. I'm so happy to have this job. I've been looking for a place that I can really stay for a good long time. Stable employment. That's what my ma always said.
Well, we're hoping we're going to be here until our good friend Maligar decides to wander off somewhere in a couple hundred years.
Well, excellent. He starts making himself at home and starts looking around the kitchen, kind of like measuring things you're going to need.
Well, before you tell us what we need in the kitchen, we should warn you that we have also hired
Colonel Thrall.
You got Thrall?
I'm not sure who made the decision, us or Thrall, but yes, Thrall's coming.
So we don't know anything about anything, but we feel strongly we shouldn't make any kitchen-related decisions.
No, I retract everything I was going to say. So he starts bustling around. May I explore?
Please.
Yes.
The rooms on the second level are mostly complete. I have some finishing touches to put on them today. The third and fourth floors are a combination of the rooms that we are staying in and not yet rentable. The plan, I believe, is to have us live on the fourth and fifth floor and have the third and second floor be rentable.
Excellent, excellent. I shall acquaint myself with this as well. You have a wine cellar too, I assume?
There's a cellar.
We've got our cellar and our larder getting set up for long storage of both alcohol and vegetables.
Ah, excellent. Have you already thought about High Harvest Tide? I know, it's still about 3-10 days away. Well, really 2-10 days away at this point as far as the ordering of cereals goes. But that is a major feast day in Waterdeep. People will expect to go out and eat lavish amounts of food. Not so much a drinking holiday, of course, more of an eating one.
Then do come up with a plan or some sort of festive theme that we might be able to peddle there.
Additionally, do you have a contact in the watch here?
Yes, we have made contact with the watch.
I have
in the
a few
area.
Contacts in the watch, yes.
So I don't know if any of you are from Waterdeep, but Bright Swords will be coming up in about a 10-day or so. That's a major holiday where the watch and the guard do military stuff and have parades and are celebrated for being good to the city. It is traditional to feed the watch for free.
Very well.
It's also a matter of good measure to feed the watch for free. They like places where they can eat for free.
Right, of course. No, we will obviously do that. If it is a good idea, and it is always a good idea to be the friends of the watch.
It is always a good idea. It's so smart, sir.
Maybe this will qualify you for a discount, Zasper.
You're in the bar, talking for a moment, and you hear a scratch, scratch, scratch at the door, and Doyle goes and goes upstairs.
I make my way to the door and open it.
You see a tabaxi with a brown tabby coat sitting on all fours at the doorstep. Their tail curls up behind them like a question mark. They have pink and blue papier-mâché wings on their back and a headband with two springs and two puffballs on it. And they go, meow.
Ah, Miss Mixie, I believe.
The Pixie Mixologist.
Oh, I did not realize that was your title. Excellent. A pleasure to meet you. Please come inside.
What else did a rainbow throw up on her outfit?
She moves her head to the other side and ignores Manny with full cat shun force.
The nice thing about having many owners is you can safely ignore two or three of us, still get things done.
The tabaxi strides past Manny, treating him with full wattage cat shun, and leaps up on top of the bar with agile grace and slinks down behind it and says, lots of room back here. A girl could get lost.
Well, don't get too hooked on it, because half of that space is going to be dedicated to the taps.
Have you met Manny, our resident brewmaster?
No, she says, and walks over and starts looking at other things.
Well, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
She walks up towards the stairs and says something complicated in a feline accent, and Doyle comes running down the stairs and head bonks her shins.
Judas.
We at least better be worth your salt and drink mixing then.
Do you hear a noise? I thought I heard a noise.
Could we maybe stop insulting the new employees?
Look at how she's dressed.
Could we maybe stop insulting the employees?
And you're only wearing a shirt because Maligar held onto it for you.
That's fair.
That's true that one lady wanted to abscond with it last night.
Well, that explains why the sleeves are ripped.
Indeed. I think the two of you should get better acquainted.
She picks up a glass and then rolls it on the back of her hand down her arm and catches it in her armpit, pops it up, lands it on her elbow. Oh, I like the glassware. It's new. Catches it again, brings it up in her hand, like really complex sleight of hand with it. It starts to glow with kind of a pulsing green light, and green wings take place on either side of it. You recognize it as minor illusion.
I could do that if I wanted.
Listen.
I just don't want to.
I think you should really consider that her presentation of your finely crafted product may boost sales of your broomanship through the roof.
Yeah, give her a draft of rock shade.
Yes. Well then, here.
Bam! The front door flies open.
I jump 2 feet in the air.
I jump a half a foot in the air. Thank you very much.
Kafra puts his hands over his ears and just groans. Oh, so loud.
Standing, framed in the doorway, is a gnomish woman with short powder blue hair and wearing plain black pants, black boots with large heels, and a black shirt. Both of her arms are covered with sleeves of tattoos. She says, I'm Thrall. I hear this will be my kitchen.
Colonel, a pleasure.
She nods.
Comes over and offers his hand.
She shakes your hand. Even though her hands are small, her grip is firm. Well, excellent. Size for tall folk. Well, it's not the first one of these I've conquered. Well, let's get to it.
Yes.
Looks in and says, ah, Mixie. Mixie gives her a very deep bow. She's loose and boneless, like cats are kind of loose and boneless. And when she bows, her chin nearly touches the floor. Yes, well, Mixie knows her stuff. Theodore kind of peeks around the lintel from the inn. And she says, Theodore, I see you. And he goes, ah! He's like, I can work with Theodore. He'll require a bit of molding, but... should be no problem.
So the other proprietors of Spirits and I will actually...
Spirits? Is that the name?
Yes.
Spirits. Were you sober when you chose it?
No.
We all felt it was succinct.
She narrows her eyes at Zasper a bit and says, well, you're paying me well.
Yes.
Let me see what you've got for the china. No, no, absolutely not. No. Marginally acceptable. We'll take that one.
I see we'll be leaving things in good hands.
Of course. Do you have servers hired already?
That is negative. That is part of your task for the coming day. Although we have a few
well,
of them.
There, I believe that we did tell... people to come, and there should be enough coming that if you need to cut a few because they're not up to your standards.
So we've become part of the task, and you may select from
yes.
What we've sent this way.
Very well.
I mean, we are opening tomorrow, so we had already had staff.
There's a timing issue.
The mint nail is up the street.
Yes.
They
yes.
make furniture.
Yes.
Would you please have them supply for me 3 stools? I'll need one that is 1.5 feet tall. I will need one that is 2.5 feet tall, and then I will need, instead of a third stool, let's have a stepladder. It'll need to go to 4 feet tall.
Very well, I'll have them all brought over right now, and I walk out the door.
Yeah, me too, I'm bye.
Dismissed.
So I'll expect the 3 of you, Colonel, Theodore, and Miss Mixie, to divvy up your domains appropriately and set to this task.
In addition, what I don't see here is someone who will handle the rooms.
Yes, you have not yet met Lyrexis, who will be the general manager, who will, of course, be in charge of general business affairs over the entire hotel and be taking care of the hotel portion of the operation.
Excellent. I don't want to have to deal with customers.
Indeed.
I will allow select few of them to tour my kitchen, provided they are up to my standards. Excellent. I will need to make some lists, groceries. Do you have a menu set for High Harvesttide?
No.
I shall do that as well.
Yes. Do consult with Theodore there. I think he also has some great suggestions.
Excellent. Well, as I said, you're paying me well. Good enough for me.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure you'll pull in the first few hires as minions who can take care of some of these smaller tasks.
Yes.
Excellent.
Please, I must work now.
Of course, by all means. Well, we should go down and consider these stools as well, shouldn't we?
I'm going to practice some music.
Are you? Excellent. Yes.
Manny's going to walk away from the bar with a mug, just perplexed. Shouldn't be frothing this much. What did she do? Damn it.
Is there a problem, Manny?
It's fine.
Is it?
It'll be fine.
Perhaps if you were, as I've often suggested, more exciting headgear, your bruise would also be frothy.
Don't make me throw the stein at you.
Hey, you want to sing, is there camel's milk in your cup with me?
I throw the stein at him.
How seriously do you throw the stein at him? Would you like to make an attack roll?
Very. Yeah, considering that that's your primary ward-killing weapon, I hope you... You have a little bit of mercy on Zasper.
So you hear a clatter of wheels and the neighing of several horses outside as if a fine carriage has just pulled up.
A fine carriage. Excellent. In Corbin's absence, Zasper will open the door.
Excellent. You see a tremendously fat man at the door. He's got blonde hair, just about ear length, so kind of wavy. A fancy red beret on with a black feather curling out of it. He's wearing extremely fine clothes. He says, "Ah, you must be Zasper. I'm Mert the Moneylender."
Really?
I am.
Pleasure making your acquaintance, Mert the Moneylender.
A mutual friend sent me. Maxine. Straight from the horse's mouth, you know what I mean.
I do, yes.
Aren't you going to invite me in, boy?
Oh, of course. Sit where you like. We're not open yet, so there's no crowd or anything.
Well, I wouldn't expect you'd be open. I'd hear you don't open for another couple of days yet.
Tomorrow, actually.
Even better. I hear you had a rat problem.
We did. Its name was Froon, and it's something of an ongoing problem.
So... He pulls out one of the kind of mismatched chairs you'd gotten from Bent Nail earlier to just have stuff to sit on while you were moving in. My boy, I hear you're opening this here bar, and I'd like it to be a success.
I find us at common accords, my good man.
Excellent, excellent. I will be sure to show up opening day. When should I come? Now, you've heard of Mert the Moneylender, and he surely... has heard of you, but how much do you really know about Mert?
Perhaps a history check?
Perhaps a history check. You may make it with advantage because of your faction affiliation.
Excellent. I now know he's a Harper. Ha ha!
Give you that one for free.
13 on the history check. I'm not a Waterdavian expert yet.
You are not, but Mert is pretty famous. He is one of two adventurers that were some of the first people to ever explore Under Mountain Dungeon. The other one was Durnan the Barkeep. He is extremely wealthy, hence his name, Mert the Moneylender, and is widely thought to be a masked lord of Waterdeep.
Then I will answer him, we are having a lunch opening, so if you would like to be there for the first seating, we would be honored.
Excellent, my boy. I'll be there. So I was talking to our dear friend Maxine, and she says the word among the street is that you're in a spot of trouble with the watch.
There was a misunderstanding where I thought that it was appropriate to assault someone with my foot to their crotch because they deserved it.
Ah! I bet they did.
However, the watch disagreed, I guess. So I was surprised at how quickly the warrant got sent. I'm attempting to straighten it out, but I would, of course, I'm definitely in over my head with it.
Let's not worry about it. You're one of my boys. Right? Ah! Hey, you! He points at Miss Mixie and she says, "Meow." He's like, "Drinks for me and my friend Zasper." And she says, "Meow." And starts rummaging around behind the bar.
Well, I'm very grateful for your help, Mert, and I hope I can return the favor.
Oh, you will?
Yes.
Absolutely, because I have some stuff I need you to look into.
All right.
Should I call, I'll expect you to be answering.
All right, well, my schedule and that of my companions has been filling up rapidly, but I will drop almost anything.
Excellent.
To help you out. Especially if it's furthering any cause Maxine is interested in.
Well, I tell you what. You just keep your ears peeled. I'll have a message sent to you when I need you.
All right.
And don't worry about anything with the watch. Bah. That whoever that was, I'm sure that bastard deserved it. They probably didn't have any witnesses worth a spit anyway.
I did ask the watchman to turn around and regard the sunset as I went in for the attack.
You kicked someone right in front of the watch?
No, he was looking at the sunset. And it should be pointed out that I unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, did not kick them because my paladin friend decided I shouldn't, and it's hard for me to kick things when he's preventing me from doing so.
Aye, paladins are like that. You're a cheeky sort. All right. Miss Pixie comes over and hands Mert, like, the pinkest drink you have ever seen in your life in a huge glass. He looks at it and says, "Oh, this looks good," and knocks it back in one swig.
Wait a minute. Hey, that's just my personal stash there. And I go running back behind the bar to clean out my personal effects.
Okay. There is a yowl of feline annoyance, and Miss Mixie goes dashing out of the bar in front of you. And she's a tabaxi. She's really fast.
But you can't just be going into a man's personal stash like that.
She regards you from on top of the mantle. Can't is a really funny word. She licks the back of her hand and smooths down the hair behind one of her ears.
Well, Mert, you're our first customer. How was the drink?
It was delicious! He has a huge burp. Well, I'm off to lunch. Good luck, my boy. He gives you a big pat on the back that is enough to practically knock a small man over.
All right.
All right, well, ta-ra! He goes stomping out.
You know, technically, I don't think he qualifies as a customer.
Yes, I'm starting to regret that assigning him that designation as well, but I'm in no position to
Mostly,
complain.
He didn't pay,
yes,
so...
I noticed, yes.
So...
Hopefully he'll pay for lunch.
What was that?
Well, it looks like you guys don't have to worry about the trouble I got into, because I have succeeded in both doubling and focusing it all on my own neck by bringing the attentions of someone that will no doubt bring trouble, but potentially some of his money will rub off along the way.
Indeed.
And I've heard he does good things despite his reputation.
You hear a terrific clanking and grinding and stomping from out in the street, and you see the Bigoli kids, the halfling kids, go running out to the street, like, super excited. You see them pass by out the front door.
I'm interested in anything that interests small children, so I will also leave.
Excellent.
What on earth is that noise?
I hope you get some sort of fried sugar dough salesman.
Wait, fried?
Sugar dough?
Sure. So, passing by on the street just north of the Troll Skull Alley Spirits, is a weird parade. It is a parade of machines, almost. Almost. They are machines, but by machines, I mean the wondrous magical works of god Gond, the god of wonder. So there's a bunch of clerics and they're like measuring the street with pieces of string where buildings overhang the street. They're running pieces of string up to see how tall they are. They have several large machines with them kind of stomping around. There's no dough salesman, but watching these big machines move around is pretty neat. There's one that looks like a horse, but it's clearly a horse that's made out of copper and stone. It's about half again the size of a normal horse, and it's pulling something behind it in a big wagon. And like I said, there's five or six different people walking around making all kinds of measurements and notes.
It looks like the carnival has come to town.
Oh no, that's not the carnival, says PC, the halfling boy. That they're just measuring. See, one time a few years ago during the Parade of Wonders, there was a machine that came by and it was really too tall, and when it did, it knocked half a house off. The clerics didn't like that at all. So now they measure before they come by, and the Day of Wonders isn't for another couple months, but it'll be cool when it's here. I really like machines.
Right. Well then, isn't this all fascinating? I'm gonna go back inside and get another drink.
So there's also wagons and carts that look like they're made out of metal and that work without horses, which is weird. There's another thing that looks like a ballista. It's about, I don't know, 8 or 10 feet across. And it's got three stumpy legs and it goes and walks down the street in little bitty steps.
Does it look dangerous? Like a ballista?
It does look like a ballista. It doesn't have any bolts in it.
Could it throw a person? Is there like a cupola?
I mean, it doesn't make me, can it throw a person check?
All right. I believe that should be performance.
I'll take it.
21.
Okay. You feel that with proper training and human cannonball or half-elven cannonball accoutrement, you feel like you could maybe catch some air with this thing.
Interesting. Do I feel like it would in any way help us defeat a necromancer in a crypt city?
It doesn't move very fast, so it depends on the relative airspeed of said necromancer.
Mm. All right.
There are a bunch of attendants walking around with it, if you would care to ask any of them.
Zasper will approach the attendants. We're all looking forward to the parade this year.
Excellent. There is a dragonborn who looks at you and says, "Ah, well, we are actually very excited about the parade this year. We have many new machines, many more wonders of Gond." Mm-hmm.
I see you've been very busy making new machines.
Every year we have to have newer and better ones.
That's true, or else Gond will be disappointed.
Well, not disappointed, because the research doesn't always work. But I do like trying to get new things every year.
Say, do you have any that play music?
She starts patting down her... I do. Moment. She goes over to the walking ballista things and taps it and it stops walking. She opens a compartment and pulls out like a leather messenger bag and starts digging around in it. This one right here. And she comes back with, it looks like a stone, just like a plain gray stone, and it's flat on one side and then rounded on the other, so it looks like half circle, and says, "Touch that with any bare finger."
I will pull out my least valuable finger.
Okay.
And I will touch it to the stone.
It starts playing a cute little dance number, and it sounds like a recording of fiddles and harps and violins.
Hmm. Interesting. I suppose that could be useful.
Yes, it only plays the one song. I'm trying to get it to play more.
Have you thought about creating it as a full stone? Maybe you could fit two songs.
No, it doesn't work because of the resonant powers of the granite matrix in there. It won't hold the sound phlogiston appropriately.
Have you considered using graphite?
I haven't.
All right. Well, maybe next year.
But the magical aura resonances of graphite could be... You know, that is a very interesting idea. I will write it down, but I must get these measurements right. We have a parade coming up. The exactly. Liability is awful.
Yes, please don't knock over spirits. It hasn't even opened yet.
Ah. She points at the end.
Yes. Myself and my companions have taken it over, and We'd be delighted if you would come to the grand opening tomorrow or maybe in the following days.
Yeah, well, the priesthood of Gond is well known for their ability to party hard.
Yes.
Wait, was that sarcasm?
That was absolutely sarcasm, dear.
Why can't I ever tell when religious figures are being sarcastic?
Probably because divine intervention? I'm not sure.
Weird.
It is a little weird.
Have you ever thought of a big walking set of pipes where the steam engine in the middle that powers the legs also releases into the pipes to play music? Ooh. As it walks?
You have quite a sweet musical inventors here.
So if the machine danced a jig, the steam that ran the jig would also play a jig.
It would be called Getting Jiggy With It.
Yeah, well, working title.
I'll have to... She starts sketching stuff out in the book. I usually make automata myself. That's a little more my speed. I've only been experimenting with music in the past couple of years.
Well, you got a couple months, and if you come through here and you don't have an steam creature that plays music as it walks, we won't be too disappointed, and all these children won't be sad. I'm sure you will instead have a automaton that fries sugar bread and passes it out.
Brilliant.
All right, well, these clerics seem that they are quite busy, and they actually don't have anything that amazing, despite being clerics of Gond, so I'm going to go back inside.
Okay, fair enough. The kids stay out there to watch.
I can play multiple songs. That rock has nothing on me.
Kafra is going to stay out on the porch with a drink and watch.
Okay.
And drink.
Corbin will go back to finishing all the work that needs to be done on spirits.
Okay. Ooh,
I will help by fine-tuning my musical repertoire. And occasionally carrying and lifting linens and such. Soft, portable things. Pillows, linens, tablecloths.
Larexis also shows up that evening to help. Are you guys taking the Garrett Tower and turning it to a stage?
Yes, mainly because we don't have time to turn it into a still. And our awesome idea to have a still suspended above the stage is...
Take some time.
Join us next week for a new adventure. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Feats and Fables. If you'd like to support us, please visit our Patreon at patreon.com/featsandfables. Or to delve deeper, visit our website at featsandfables.com. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod at incomtech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. This episode contained Fearless First, Heroic Age, Dark Times, The Forest and the Trees, and Five Armies. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod at incomtech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. This episode contained Heroic Age, The Forest and the Trees, Juniper, Pippin the Hunchback, and Sovereign.
Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. It really does help.